Our scripture lesson today, the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Old Testament because it very practically illustrates for us how to handle challenges and battles in our lives, how to handle the difficulties that we face. And I'm sure that anybody who's watching or listening, everybody in the room today, we've had times in our lives when life was challenging. Maybe they were challenges in a classroom. Maybe they were challenges on the job, difficulties in a relationship, challenges with our health. But we all know what it's like to face difficulties, challenges, battles, if you will, that disrupt our lives. And this chapter gives us a great object lesson in how to handle those times. And I encourage you to keep your Bible or your Bible app open, because we're through the time today. We'll read through the sections and deal with them a section at a time. And through this, we're going to learn 8 basic lessons on how to keep calm, remembering that the battle is the Lord's. And that's the main lesson from this chapter, that the battle is the Lord's. But it begins with a problem. And by the way, every miracle begins with a problem. If there wasn't a problem, you wouldn't need a miracle. Every miracle begins with a problem. And here's the problem. The Moabites, the Ammonites, and some of the Menuhites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. The people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Eden, from the other side of the Dead Sea. They're already in En-Gedi. And alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The King James says, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. The first step in dealing with problems is to face them. Don't pretend they don't exist. Don't try to hide behind religious jargon. You know, Christians are experts at that. You know, we've got all the religious jargon that we use to not have to face the problem that we are facing. It is not a lack of faith to realize the seriousness of the problem you may be facing. You know, when Abraham was trying to figure out how he and Sarah, way up in years, could have a child, Romans 4:19 says Abraham, without weakening in his faith, faced the facts. I've seen too many people in my work as a healthcare chaplain. I've seen far too many people who thought it was Christian to deny facts. No, it's not Christian to deny facts. You face the facts, but you face it with faith. And those are not contradictory. Abraham faced the fact that physically he and Sarah could not have children, but he did not weaken in his faith in the promise God had given him. And often, just putting your problem into words can help you begin to deal with it. When we're facing overwhelming times, part of the overwhelmingness is we can't get a handle on what exactly is going on. We just feel like we're so overwhelmed, we don't even know. It's like when you decide you're going to clean out the garage. It's like, oh no, where do I start? Well, the beginning step is to put your problems into words. The problem that I'm facing today is this. The challenge that is first in my life today is this. But too many times, instead of facing our problems, we either ignore them, or we minimize them, or we tend to just do more of what we've always done. You know, well, this isn't working, so instead of looking for another option, we double how hard we work, or how long we work, or how much money we spend, and we still can't figure out why it doesn't resolve the problem. Because sometimes the normal things don't work. And how many church meetings have you been in and said, well, we've tried this and tried this and tried this, it doesn't seem to be working. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do it twice as hard. You know, sometimes it just doesn't make sense. Sometimes the normal things don't work. Or to put it another way, when you come to the end of your rope, reach out to God, not go buy more rope. You know, turn the problem to God. Sometimes we panic, and fear and anxiety can often be greater than the actual enemies that we're facing, because our emotions just run wild on us, and the fear is worse than the actual problem itself. What we need to do is admit, God, I don't know what to do. I'm going to turn to you. So lesson number one is name your problem. Face it. Name it. This is what's going on. This is what I need God's help for. I love verse 3. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. I like the way the King James put it. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. He has just gotten word that his three largest enemies have come together in a coalition to come after him. It's bad enough when one of them's coming after you, but when all three of them have ganged up on you, the normal human reaction is to fear. But it's what you do after the first reaction that tells the story. He feared, but then he set himself to seek the Lord. And I believe that God's more interested in your second reaction than he is your first reaction. Because we're humans. And when we're faced with what appears to be overwhelming challenges, our first reaction is going to be, what am I going to do? Oh, I'm going to turn to God. You know, it's the second step that is the most important. And I tend to think the part of growing in our walk of faith is that the time between the first reaction and the second reaction gets shorter. You know, it's, you know, sometimes in, you know, in our early days of faith, we feared and feared and feared and feared and feared. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, we say, oh, maybe I should pray. But as we learn God, as we learn his faithfulness, as we learn that we can trust him, it's, I'm fearful and it may last a few minutes, but I'm going to seek God. I'm going to turn to him. Don't be concerned about your faith if when you face a problem out of nowhere, it kind of shakes you for a minute. The key is, what do you do next? And that's lesson number two, which is face the fears. He resolved that he would seek the Lord. That's the place you start. You start, once you name your fear, you fight your fear, and the place to start is prayer. He set himself to seek the Lord. That's lesson number three. Seek the Lord. Starting in verse 4, I'm just going to scan through here, not read every word of every verse. But the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. And then Jehoshaphat stands up and he leads them in prayer. Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand. No one can withstand you. You drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people. You gave it forever to the descendants of Abraham. They've lived here, and they said, if calamity comes on us, we're going to cry out to you. But now, Lord, here are our enemies. You wouldn't allow us to invade them, and now they're repaying us by coming after us. Verse 12, will you not judge them? We have no power to face this vast army. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Ah, in a nutshell, that's keep calm. The battle is the Lord's. Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. There have been some situations that people have asked me to pray about. And I, you know, sometimes when I face a situation, I kind of know what I think God's will probably is, and it gives me some direction in my praying. But there are some times where I just got to pray like Jehoshaphat did. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't even know how to pray about this. I don't know what to ask you for. But my eyes are on you. I trust you. God, you know the problem. You know the situation. You know how to fix it. I don't even know how to pray about it, but I'm giving it to you. And it's significant that the whole group of people came together to seek the Lord, which is lesson four. Find a prayer partner. Or maybe you want to put in parentheses, ask for prayer support. Because when you don't know what to do, that's a good time to get other people to help you pray. Jehoshaphat faces this news that his enemies are coming after him, and he calls the people to pray. There's such a blessing to have people around you who pray. I am constantly blessed by the realization that the people of this congregation take prayer seriously. And when people send me an email and said, would you please put this on the prayer chain? And I send out that email, I know that as soon as people open that email, they are praying. Because we know the power of prayer. When you're facing battles, don't think you have to face them alone. Somebody said near the end of his life, if I had it to do over, I'd ask for help. When you're facing those battles, it is not a sign of spiritual strength to feel like you've got to do it by yourself. We need one another. Ask for prayer support. Find somebody that will pray with you about this. And look at this prayer. First of all, he verbalized his faith by saying, this is who God is. Lord, you're the God in heaven. You rule over the kingdoms. Power and might are in your hand. No one can withstand you. He verbalized his faith. Here's a question for you. Is your God a question mark or an exclamation point? When you pray, verbalize your faith. God, this is who you are. You rule over the nations. Power and might are in your hand. Nobody can withstand you. Focus on God in your praying. So many times, if we're not careful, our prayers are more problem-centered than they are God-centered. Lord, you know this problem I face, and then we take the next 10 minutes, breaking down all the problems that we're facing, and we never get around to saying, God, this is who you are, and then we wonder why we're so discouraged when we stop praying. Focus on God, and I encourage you, yes, we're going to talk about this. Tell God what you need. Let him know the battle you're facing, like he doesn't know. But make sure that you begin and end with praise. Jesus taught us that when he said, after this manner, pray. Starts off, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Who God is. And it ends, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Who God is. Make sure you focus on who God is. And then he talks about what God did. In verse 7, he's reflecting back on how God brought the children of Israel into that land. He's remembering God's faithfulness. He's remembering the promises that have been fulfilled. He's remembering the victories from the past. And as you pray in the midst of your battles, make sure you spend some time rehearsing what God has done for you in the past. God's track record. God, I remember the last time I was in a situation like this, and you came through like this. And I remember when this happened, and you came through like this. In your praying, remember what God did. And then he talks about what their forefathers did. He said, here they were. They've lived in this land. They built the sanctuary for you, and they've said they would cry out to you. He's remembering his heritage, not just what God has done for him, but what God has done for those before him. And then he gets around to what the problem is. Verses 10 and 11, all these people are here and they're coming after us. But don't dwell on it. It's significant that he talks about who God is and what God did before he starts talking about what the problem is. Do God-centered praying And then he says, this is what we need, this is what we want, and we're not quite sure what it is, but we can't handle them by ourselves. Our eyes are on you. More than once in Jesus' earthly ministry, he asked people, what do you want me to do for you? You know, sometimes we pray and we never get around to telling God what we want. It's okay to say, God, if it's your will, I mean, always put that in there because he knows stuff we don't know. But Lord, if it's your will, this is what I'd like to see happen. But your will be done. Transfer the problem from our hands to God's hands. And don't wait for 6 weeks of trying to figure it out on your own to finally say, we don't know what to do, our eyes are on you. You pray that from the beginning. Chuck Swindoll puts it this way. When you face an impossibility, leave it in the hands of the specialist. Refuse to calculate, refuse to doubt, refuse to work it out by yourself. Refuse to worry or encourage others to worry. Right at first, say, it's impossible, I can't handle it. Lord, before I foul it up, it's yours. Give it to God. And then we begin to hear the promise from God in verse 13. All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones, there's a lesson there. Make sure your family knows. Stand there before the Lord. That's a significant phrase. They stood before the Lord. Don't pray and run. Pray and stay. Pray and wait. They needed to hear a word from God. And so they prayed, and then they stood there. And as they stood there, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through the prophet. It's hard to wait, but sometimes we need to do that. And the prophet says, this is what the Lord says, don't be afraid or discouraged. The battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. Here's where they'll be. You won't have to fight the battle. Take your positions. Stand firm. See the deliverance the Lord will give you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow. The Lord will be with you. Lesson 5, hear from God. Stay there till you hear from God. They stood before the Lord. They waited for God to speak. That's hard for us to do. But prayer, properly understood, is a conversation. Most of our prayers are monologues. Dear God, I need this, 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 and this. Please help these, and these, and these. In Jesus' name, amen. See you tomorrow. But prayer is a conversation. God wants to talk to us. We've talked about that a couple weeks ago. God wants to talk to us through impressions, through thoughts. And we've got to wait for him to speak to us. They waited. They stood before the Lord. As I was thinking about that, I remember a time in my life in ministry when I was just not quite sure what the next step was going to be. And I was just crying out to God, God, what am I going to do? What do you want me to do? What am I supposed to do? God, I need your help. God, please show me what to do. Please, God, speak to me. Please show me what to do. And I don't know if God talks to you like this or not, but he talks to me like this sometimes. He said, Wilson, if you just shut up, I'd tell you. You know, sometimes we can't hear God speak because we're too busy saying, God, I need you to talk to me. I need you to talk to me. I need you to talk to me. He said, be still and know that I'm God. Wait for him to speak. And sometimes it's like, okay, Lord, I'm going to wait here, but you know, now I've got to go to work, but I'll be back until I hear from you. And I'm going to wait in your presence until I hear what I'm supposed to do next. And again, it doesn't have to be all in one, you know, one period of time, because sometimes that's not possible with our other responsibilities in life. But it's the attitude of, God, I'm waiting for you to speak to me. And just as you have down moments through the day, say, God, I'm listening. I'm listening, Lord. And the promise came, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. God is going to be with you. When you get down to verse 21, you'll see that Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him, and they actually led the army. Which leads me to give you lesson number 6, get the help you need. Jehoshaphat had help. He had the prophet, and he had this praise team. Don't try to do it by yourself. We mentioned that a few minutes ago. Don't try to face your battles by yourself. Get help. Get a word from God. You know, he had the prophet who said, this is what the Lord is going to tell you. And he had a people to gather to praise the Lord. And that's the praise, starting in verse 18. They fall down in worship from the Lord. Some of the Levites stood up and began to praise the Lord. And then the next morning they get out and they do what they're supposed to do. And Jehoshaphat says, have faith in the Lord your God, you'll be upheld. And after consulting the people, he appoints this praise team. And they went out at the head of the army. That's when you did not want to be a part of the choir. The choir went first, went out ahead of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, his love endures forever. And now catch verse 22. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, and they were defeated. Not only were they defeated, verse 23 says, they turned on each other. This coalition of these three nations ended up turning on each other and wiping each other out, to where in verse 24, when the army of Judah came to the spot where they were told to stand and watch, all they see are the dead bodies of their enemies. No one had escaped. And it took them 3 days to collect all the plunder, equipment, clothing, articles of value. Took them 3 days to collect it. But did you notice that the victory came when they began to praise God? Praise is the key to God's power and his presence. When you think about the weapons that God has given us for spiritual warfare, don't forget praise. The hotter the battle is, the more intense your praise ought to be. The more confusing the challenges are, the more specific your praise has got to be. Praise is a weapon. And when you're in the battle, see, when we're in the battle, the human tendency is to think about the battle. When we're in the battle, we need to be thinking about our God and focusing on him, praising him, who God is, what God did, and listen for what he wants to say to us. Praise is the key. And so the lesson is keep praising God. Don't stop praising God. And they had this incredible victory. So they, verse 27, they returned joyfully to Jerusalem, I would imagine. The Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem, went to the temple, and there's harps and lyres and trumpets. And the fear of God came around all the surrounding kingdoms because they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. But don't miss verse 26. After they had spent 3 days collecting the loot, on the fourth day, they went to the valley of Baraka. That word means praise. And there they praised the Lord. Praise does more than help us survive. Praise helps us thrive. And so in verse 27, when he talks about returning joyfully to Jerusalem, that's the lesson. Enjoy God's answer. When God gives you victory, enjoy it. When God blesses you, enjoy it. Some of us have trouble with that. You know, one of the hardest things for people to do is to accept a compliment. oh, well, it was nothing. You know, like the lady who told the pastor at the end of the service, that was a good sermon, pastor. And he said, well, just thank the Lord. And she said, well, it wasn't that good. But, you know, it's hard for us to just say thank you, you know, and move on. But enjoy God's answer. Don't feel guilty when God blesses you. Don't feel guilty when God gives you victory. That's what he wants to do. He loves to bless his children. Don't feel guilty about it. Enjoy the answer. They returned joyfully to Jerusalem. They were rejoicing over their enemies. Enjoy the blessings of God. Jack Taylor puts it this way: God has blessings for you beyond your imagination. The only manner in which he can convey those blessings to you is to create a need or a problem or a circumstance which demands dependence on him. The greater the need, the greater the blessing. So when we face the challenges, the battles of life, just remember, keep calm. The battle is the Lord's. Now, there are times when he's going to ask us to fight, but then there are those wonderful times where he just says, I just stand here and watch them take care of themselves. But enjoy the blessings and answers of God. There's an old song. I could not find a version that I liked of it because it's not many versions out there. But it's called Keep Praising Him. And the chorus is, just keep praising him. Praise him when it seems there is no way. Praise him though it seems your heart will break in your darkest night. For to praise him in the darkness brings the light. Just keep praising him. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Father, battles are going to come. Weapons will be formed against us, but they're not going to prosper. And as we are on your side, we have victory. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be encouraged in the midst of the battles, because we know that without a battle, there's no victory. Without a need, there's no miracle. And may we rejoice when the victories come. May we rejoice when the miracles come. Lord, may we be reminded, for those who are listening now and they're in the middle of the heat of the battle, Lord, give us the discipline to keep praising you. Help us to keep focused on who you are and what you've done for us in the past and your promise to be with us today and tomorrow and all the days of our lives. May we celebrate your faithfulness. May we rest in your promises. May we know that you are God and you're fighting our battles for us. So may we transfer that problem that we've been trying to figure out, that we've been trying to work out, may we transfer it to your hands. Say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm at the end of myself. My eyes are on you. I'm trusting you. And when we reach to that point, you say, thank you. That's what I've been waiting for. And then you can do what only you can do. So encourage us in the Lord today. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine on you and give you his peace now and evermore. Amen. Thanks for tuning in. God bless you. Thanks for making the effort to come out today. See you, Lord willing, in a couple of weeks.